الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى صدق الله العظيم. In these ayat of the Quran Sharif, and every Muslim knows that in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is speaking to each one of us individually, directly. So it is Allah Ta'ala who is speaking to us in the Quran Sharif. And what is Allah Ta'ala telling us in these ayat? They are relevant, just like the whole Quran Sharif is relevant to us. Allah Ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. That undoubtedly, the word qad in Arabic language is used for definitely, undoubtedly. Aflah, that person has become, undoubtedly that person has become successful. In Arabic language, like all languages, we have synonyms. One word that, there are very many words for the same meaning. So aflaha in Arabic also, there are many other words also referring to the same meaning. But the word aflaha is that success which includes all types of success in it. A person's health, a person's wealth, a person's well-being, his dunya, his qabr, his akhirah, all types of success. So Allah Ta'ala is announcing that undoubtedly, that person has become totally successful. Man tazakka, a person who has done tazkiyah, purification of the soul. That person, Allah declares that he has become completely successful. In another ayat, Allah says, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَ. And a person who does not do the purification of the soul, of the heart, that person is totally destroyed. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَةٍ. There is a piece of flesh in the human body. إِذَا صَلَحَ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. If that one piece of flesh is good, then the whole body is good. وَإِذَا فَسَدَ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. And if that one piece of flesh is bad, then the whole body will be bad. Ala wahiya al-qalb. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses the word ala, that is, open your ears and listen. Listen attentively, that is the heart. That is the purification of the heart. The heart must be right, then the whole body will be right. So this purification, it is of the soul. But for us to understand a few examples, cleanliness and purification, Muslim and non-Muslim, we all agree we need it of our body. We must bath regularly, we must wash regularly, clean our mouth regularly, clean our nose, our ears. Purification is necessary for cleanliness. Of our clothes, we know it has to be washed, and we have to wear clean clothes. It's absolutely essential and necessary. The house, our surroundings, the yard, etc. Then at the government level, municipal level, the streets, etc. All the places, there must be cleanliness in everything. Nobody has got any objection. And if there isn't cleanliness, we know diseases will spread. We know that rodents will come, insects, all types of insects. Then you'll get bed bugs, you'll get mosquitoes, you'll get mice, you'll get rats, you'll get all types of rodents and things. And it will become difficult to live. So that outward cleanliness, nobody can dispute it. It is necessary, it is important. Then we find further cleanliness, like for example, for our salat as Muslims. We know without wudu, without ghusl, our namaz won't be made. We have to have our ghusl, we have to make wudu. The whole night you stand in tahajjud, but you didn't make wudu. That all your whole life's effort is gone in waste. It is absolutely necessary. So all those things we understand. As far as our health is concerned, when we have any illness, we all understand we have to take treatment. You get a headache, you take a Panado, you don't go to the doctor. But your headache is not going. It's persistent. It's a migraine now. It's troubling you more. Now you have to go to a doctor. You have to go and see a doctor. We understand that. We got high blood pressure, persistent. Not just once it was high, but all the time it's high and it's going very high. We know we have to take treatment. The blood pressure is gone too low. We know we have to take treatment. Our sugar levels are gone too high. They are gone too low. The cholesterol of in our blood is gone too much or even too little. It has to be at its right level. Like that, the kidneys have to function, the lungs have to function, every part of the body. And we take purification, treatment of it to correct it. We know it has to be done. Though it is not for us to take treatment. If a person has got any illness, according to Sharia, it is not for us. It by all means you are permitted. It's not that you are not permitted, and it is sunnah to take treatment, but it's not for us. But if a person doesn't take treatment, what will happen to that person? And for this treatment, for example, cleanliness of the clothes, how lot of effort is made, how many washing machines are made, how many soap powders, how many irons to iron the clothes, washing lines to hang the clothes, all this we know is necessary. In order to clean our toilets, to clean the kitchen, how many types of things we have to use. We all know it is necessary for our health. How many doctors are there? How many hospitals, government hospitals, private hospitals? How lot of arrangements. So in the same way, if we can understand, the purification of the heart is also absolutely essential. For example, one disease of the heart is greed. A person has got too much of greed for worldly things, for wealth. And very shortly, all of us are aware of what crimes, what terrible things have been done just because of greed. A husband gets his wife killed because of greed. He makes a take out an insurance policy, gets her killed in the hope that I'll get that insurance policy, I will get the benefit. And he gets caught all the time it happens. And because of greed he does that. And these are actual facts I'm referring to in our community. A wife gets her husband chopped up, put in a suitcase and put into a river, gets caught also, all because of greed. A father gets his son murdered because the son warned the father, if I don't get my BM by so and so day, I'll report you to the receiver. All this is greed of money. So because of greed, what and what doesn't happen in this world? If a person hasn't got iman, then a person with iman, no matter what happens, he's got a support. He's got somebody. A very great thing. How much he knows Allah, he knows I can trust Allah. An extreme example, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is being catapulted into the fire. But he knows I've got Allah. He doesn't worry at all. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the big river is in front of him, the river Nile. Fir'aun's enemy, the enemy army is behind him. He says, Allah is with me. Inna Allahu ma'ana, Rabbi sayahdi. Allah is with me, He will guide me. So a person with iman won't become perplexed, won't become go out of his mind. When a person puts a gun to your head, it may be even a blank gun, but you go blank. That I don't know what's going to happen. And you don't remember anything. A person who's got proper iman and contact with Allah. And wallah, I say, at that time, if just Allah comes out, undoubtedly Allah will protect you. And so many incidents of our people. On such occasions, a person just read, Hameen la yun saroon. And those enemies didn't know what happened. And they ran for life from there. So a person with iman is protection. A person who has got sabr, no matter what difficult conditions come on him, he won't become depressed. He won't end up in a mental hospital. He won't commit suicide. How many people with problems that come upon them? Financial, domestic, health, people commit suicide. A person got sabr, it won't happen. A person who has got shukr in him, then that person, no matter what big damage come on you, you will also be able to contain. How many people win a lotto? Lotto, your gambling is totally haram. But how many people win the lotto when they get the news, they die of a heart attack. They couldn't take it. If you got shukr, not for a lotto, that is haram. But any big windfall came on you, Allah, it's your shukr. It's not my doing. You'll contain it quite easily. All the qualities of iman, if a person has got, he will live comfortably. If he hasn't got, that is then we need all the psychiatrists and we need all the hospitals and we need everything in this dunya. In Madinatul Munawwara, a Christian doctor came to practice. He practiced for 6 months. Then he spoke to one Sahabi and he asked him, how come not one patient in 6 months? He says that we have got our deen. Deen is our solution. Today, and a simple example to understand this, a very poor man who had nothing but one gold coin. He lived in a little tin shanty in a mud house. He lost it there. Then he went and looked for it outside under the street light on the street. He's looking, he can't find it. His parent came past, what's wrong? I lost my gold coin, my only asset in my life. Let me help you look for it. And as it is common, can't find it. Where did you lose it? I lost it in my tent shanty. Then why are you looking for it here outside on the road? Because I got no lights in my tent shanty. Here there is a brick street light. But where it isn't, you can look for it till the cows go home. You can never find it there. You can look for it in a tent shanty with a candle light. Or you haven't got a candle also. Just moving your hand around, where you lost it, hopefully you can find it. We lost our health. We lost our peace of mind. We got not money, but no peace of mind. What money was supposed to do for you, to give you security, happiness, money is causing the opposite when you haven't got peace. We got wives, but we haven't got enjoyment of life. Because our eyes are not under control. We're looking at other women, we get no enjoyment with our own wives. Looking at haram, filth and dirt, like drinking urine and eating stool, we enjoy that. Haram we enjoy. But your own halal wife, that we don't enjoy. All this is because we haven't got the sleep. And where are we looking for it? We have become so misled in this. We go and look for it under the street light. We lost it in our deen of Islam. We don't go back to Islam to bring it back into our life. We are looking under it, under the street light. What is the street light? In our big, big businesses, big, big mansions, our big, big holidays, our hospitals, our psychiatrists, our marriage counselors, our financial advisors. It's not there. It is yet. If you are thirsty and you leave the town and you go out in the jungle and you are looking for water in the jungle, and as you go, far in the distance you see a mirage which looks like water. But when you come there is no water, your thirst increases and your anxiety increases. I thought I'm going to get water, but there isn't. You can walk till the horizon where it looks where the sun and the earth and the skies meet. They never meet. It looks like they meet. They never meet. You can walk the whole world round. You won't find the water. Come back to the city and open one tap and see how the water rushes out. The city we have to go back to is the city of Medina. The distance we have to walk back is 1400 years. The time of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. Our progress is not walking in front, it's not reaching the moon, it's not reaching the bottom of the ocean. Our progress is in going back to the lifestyle of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you will reach there, you will find your happiness. In everything, you will find your security. You will find what we are looking for, we will find. And if you are looking for it anywhere else where it isn't, you can never find it there. So this is how important it is that we must have these qualities of iman. This is what is called tazkiyatun nafs. That trusting on material things. We don't trust on Allah, I trust on my shop. We don't trust on Allah, my money, my bank balance, my investments. I don't trust on Allah, I trust on the doctors, I trust on the medicine. Eh? That is not La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, there is no power, no deity, nothing and nobody can do anything besides Allah. We read the kalima, we talk of the kalima, but unfortunately in our practice it isn't there. So that is what we have to get. And Islam didn't make haram doing business. Don't get me wrong also. Islam didn't say you don't get married, you don't have, but you don't put your trust in those things. You put your trust only on Allah. So all these things, that is what we have to find Allah. To get the quality of sabr, get the quality of shukr, tawadu, humility. A person who is humble is loved by everyone. A person who is proud is hated by everyone. And pride destroys a person. So this is what is called tazkiyah. And for that, have we got one spiritual hospital? No spiritual hospital for that. For our bodily. And if we treat that disease, we won't need all these hospitals and all these treatments. But we are all the time doing this other treatment, and the main treatment that we have to do, we are not concerned. This is what is called the spiritual hospital, in our language and time, what we call a khanqa. And just as on one occasion in Bombay, there was one very pious person who was admitted in hospital, the doctors wanted to operate, and they asked him to sign permission for them to operate. He said, I'll take advice from my spiritual doctor. He said, who is your spiritual doctor? You never heard of a spiritual. We are your doctors. We are treating. He said, get all the doctors of the hospital together. When they got there, he told them, see, regularly you take our blood to test sugar, to test how's our kidney, how's our liver functioning, all the various things. So tell me, in that blood can you test how much anger I've got? How much jealousy I've got? How much pride I've got? They say, that we cannot test. He said, that is the work of a spiritual doctor who will examine you and see how much of pride, what's the level of your iman, how much of pride you have got, how much of jealousy, how much of love of dunya. Dunya is not haram, the love of dunya is haram. You can have a 10 million check in your top pocket right next to your heart. It's not haram. To have 1 cent, the love of 1 cent in your heart, that is haram. So this all has to be detected and treated. And wallah, I say, a person who does that, his dunya is jannat in this world. His maut, he looks forward, he's not frightened. How many people who are sitting here now, we've got our patients in the hospital on life supporting machine. We know that person is going to die, but we just want to, and that person is not living also, he's on a life, can't eat himself, can't drink, can't go to toilet, can't open his eyes, can't take a step, but just to be alive. And if we have this iman, a person will be eager to meet his Allah. A boy who gets married, and they say the bride will come 3 o'clock. He's looking at his watch from 12 o'clock. And when it's 3:01, what's happening? Why isn't he here? Because if we had that love of Allah, a Muslim will not be afraid of death. But today we are afraid of death. We don't want to die. We can live on the life supporting machine. We can do anything, but we prepare to put down 500,000 rand for an operation. But we don't want to die. And after that treatment, do we live forever? Aren't we going to die? How many spend? Millions. And still they die. And if you don't spend, you're still going to live or die, whatever the case is. But if we did not prepare for the qabr, and we go to the qabr with our spiritual illnesses, with our physical illnesses, at the time of mort, it comes to an end. You're suffering from cancer, terrible pain. Even family members in the heart are making dua, if Allah takes him away now, we can't see him suffering like this. But with mort coming, it's the end of the story. But if you've got spiritual illnesses, if we had kufr in our heart and we did not know, if we had shirk in our heart, we had pride in our heart, we were suffering from sorrow, undue sorrow, and mort comes, now the punishment starts in the qabr. And we cannot imagine, it is mentioned in a hadith, a person who was living in whatever enjoyments and pleasures of the world you can imagine, if it is just one bit in the punishment in the qabr, if she says, I never had enjoyment in my life, that suffering is so great. So how important is not this? So for that, Allah has given us various institutions. And every institution of deen is of utmost importance. The beginning, there were what we call our makatib, our primary madrasas, where every child should be admitted and learn to read Quran Sharif. This is such a great blessing of Allah. And not only to read, but to read correctly. And then learn some surahs. This is a great, great ni'mah. The makatib are the backbone of this ummah. One priest and professor at the university says, as long as your makatib will be there, you will live as a Muslim community. The day your makatib are not there, you will exist as a professional community, as an affluent community, as a business community, as everything else, but not as a Muslim community. So important our makatib. From there, we have our hifz classes. To learn the Quran, memorizing, everyone doesn't do it. But to have that institution and to have that number of hafizas is of utmost importance. The virtue is for everyone, but for the community, we must have our hafiz classes. Then we have our darul ulums, where ulama are prepared. If we don't have the ulama, what will happen to the ummah? One great alim said in a very beautiful way, the enemy, shaitan, who is our chief enemy, wants to cut us off from Islam, from Allah. But they will never come to you and tell you Islam is bad. Because the weakest Muslim also loves Islam. They will never tell you about Allah and about Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How they will cut you off from Islam? They will tell you your ulama are bad. And he's a human being, he's got weaknesses, he will make mistakes. And then that will come in your mind, yes, I know my alim, my imam, he's got this bad habit, he's got that bad habit. And the minute they cut you from the alim, what they have actually done, cut you from Islam. Our connection to true, correct Islam is not the internet, it's not Google, it's not kitabs, it is the alim. And when you get cut off from the alim, you are cut off from Islam. So that they do. So how important it is that we have our ulama and the respect for our ulama. They are our connection to Islam. Then we have our tabligh jama'ah. Without them, the people who are in offices, who are in the jungles, who are in the farms, who will go to them? We need that part of the ummah also. And they are doing also a fantastic work. Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali said, it is my mission, this work of tabligh, to go and meet those people and create the talab, the thirst of deen in them. How many people haven't got the thirst of deen? They don't think about deen at all. And then after the thirst is created, to connect them to the ulama so they learn their deen. And connect them to the mashayikh so that their tazkiyah is there, done, their islah is done. Then we have the khanqa for our spiritual illnesses. Whether we are Ani, whether we are in Jamaat, whoever we are, our spiritual illnesses have to be treated also. So a combination of all this will give us a perfect solution. For example, to understand it quite easily, if somebody says that only the eyes are necessary, tongue is not necessary. That's wrong. The ears are necessary, the nose is not necessary. Brains are necessary, heart is, every part of the body is necessary. And when they all function in coordination, helping one another, that's a perfect, good, healthy human being. But if any one part is not functioning, if your legs are lame, if your hand is you are paralyzed, you're not functioning properly. So the whole, every department of deen must be there. Otherwise we are not functioning. We are paralyzed. So we need every part of deen. The eye cannot do the work of the nose also. So one person can't do the work of the other department, but every department must do its work in coordination, and you have a perfect system, whether it's of a government, of a house, of a business, the human body, anything. And the whole being also, all the systems must be in place and must be functional. Then inshallah we will get perfect results. So for that, let us not run down anyone. And let us support one another and get involved in whichever field who are open to the maktab field, support that field. Darul Uloom, support that. Tabligh Jamaat, you enter and go there. Khanqa, you go there. Let us all work together and we will get a perfect solution, and let us realize the importance of the efforts of me. May Allah give us all tawfiq and guide us to righteousness. Wa akhiru da'wana.
Inshallah, also be a good one of us, and the conditions